We're going to take some moments today, and you want to turn over there to Matthew in chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, and I'll just go ahead and say the prayer as you're turning. Jesus said to them in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we've gone over the names of God. We've gone over several parts of the prayer. And I really want to encourage you. I didn't do this series just because there was nothing else for me to preach. I've been preaching for 42 years, and I've never found an area in my ministry where there was nothing to preach. I'm reteaching this, which I've done several times in the last, well, since 1982, to tell you the truth, when I first began to share this in a seminar in outside of Modesto over in Riverbank, California. I just shared it wherever I go, and I believe in it. I believe in the Lord's Prayer. I believe that we need to be praying this prayer every day. And I really get a really great influence from the Holy Spirit on this, is because when they asked Jesus, how do we pray? He said, when you pray, say. You know, if Jesus says something, I'm going to be the first in line to obey him. I really am. Is he saying that's the only way to pray? No, he's not. But he said, when you pray, say. I say it every day of my life. I say it many times during the day. If I kneel down to pray, I normally start my prayer time with the Lord's Prayer. Last night, in about 2:30 in the morning, I was praying, kneeling in my place of prayer and praying for the church here and for you all individually, calling out your names. But I always start off by saying the Lord's Prayer. I believe in it. It covers so much ground, and it just touches so many things that we can understand what it means in our life. And we understand that the Lord is something very dear to us. He's our Savior. He's our God. He's our mentor. He's our brother. He's our friend. He's our Rabboni. He is just the one who walks along our side also. He is the Holy Spirit. He is God. He is all things to all people. If we would just believe in him and trust in him and allow him to guide our steps every day, allow him to speak into our life every day, allow him to embrace us and love on us every day, because that's what he wants to do. The Lord wants to communicate with you and I. He really does. That's why we have prayer. Prayer is a communication. It's also a praise, and it's a worship. And you engage all three of those when you begin to sit down with the Lord, or kneel down, or walk, or lie prostrate, whatever form that you take, posture that you take in prayer. Just remember that those three things are involved: prayer, praise, and worship. And listen to what the voice of the Lord has to say to you, and listen to what he wants to speak into your life. He wants to give you direction. He wants to heal your body. He wants to prosper you. He wants to just love on you. And he wants to just embrace you and engage you daily. He doesn't want you to be alone, doesn't want you to be separated, doesn't want you to feel lonely, doesn't want you to feel picked on and looked at funny and all the other things that happens in today's world. He talks about his kingdom here. He talks about what his will is, not ours, his will. Will in the book, in throughout the whole Bible, in the Greek, also in the Aramaic, and as it was written in the Hebrew, it means choice. God's choice is that his will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom would come on this earth. As I explained to you just a few services ago, that the kingdom of God was just brought to us just by a little presence of Jesus. He just brought a little bit of what it really is. And we're looking forward to living in that kingdom for eternity when the kingdom of God engulfs the kingdom of heaven. And we will be able then to praise along with Jesus and praise along with all of heaven together the God who has created us and brought us into this brotherhood and sisterhood called Christianity. And we are family all over the world with people, different nations. People don't even speak the language that I'm speaking now, who speak a language that I don't even understand, or you may not understand. Is the point of it is that we are brothers and sisters because we serve God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He is there for us. He's with us at all times. And I'm going to preach in a minute. I just want to kind of get this introduction going here. And we talked a little bit about the earth, us being that earth, or outside these windows, the world as the earth. And we want God's presence to be there. We want God's presence to be in us, and we want God's presence to be around us. And lo and behold, God wants to be in us, and God's presence, He wants His presence to be around us. We did not literally choose this. He chose us. After the fall, He promised Jesus in Genesis 3 and 15 that Jesus would come. And, you know, we see in the scripture all the way through the Old Testament the 4,000 years that it covers, according to the Word. Is there's all this disobedience and all this wandering and all this rebellion and all this false prophecy and all this other great stuff that was going on of obedience and praise and worship and temple worship and all the beauty of God's presence there and the miracles that He shown in the Old Testament was incredible to see what He has done, separating the waters. Jericho's walls being pressed down, Jordan separating, the miracles of 300 running down 45,000 Amalekites and destroying an army. 300. You see, nothing, the Bible's very clear, nothing is impossible with God. And I was just down here praising a moment ago, thinking about how wonderful God's miracles are. And I began to also wonder, and I just believe I had a confirmation in my spirit from the Holy Spirit, is that the reason we don't see a lot of miracles anymore is because we don't have a lot of faith anymore. Right. You know, you got to understand something. Faith causes God to react.
Amen.
Doubt does not bring God into your life at all. You may think so. But I'm going to tell you, it does not. And I will prove it to you in Scripture anytime you want to sit down with me. Faith causes God to come into your life and bring the miraculous into your life. Faith. Faith. The little boy who came to the altar when I was just in my first church, my first pastor, and he was only 12 years old, whose heart was going to have to be repaired, and hopefully the surgery would have been a success. His faith coming to the altar when I laid hands on him, the heart was totally restored, and when they looked at it on Tuesday to see where they were going to cut, and they did the last x-ray for it, they found nothing wrong with the heart. Totally restored. Faith by the phone call that I got in Geneva, Illinois, sitting in front of the high school, and I was picking up my son Mikey and my daughter Erin as they were still in high school, and a man calls me and says, my wife has to have an operation. I was with them in the emergency room the night before, and they found a clot in her basilar artery going up to her brain. It was totally clotted, and she had to have it, and if she did not have it, she was going to die, but this operation, the great percentages of people either dying or being paralyzed, is uncanny. And he said, please pray. Faith touched her that day. And that basilar blockage was dispensed and gone. And when they went to do, again, the scan to see how they could cut in and not to try to endanger her life, there was nothing blocking it. That was documented on CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network. Let me tell you, faith moves God in your life. Amen. Have faith today. And I gave this introduction because I'm going to bring you to a place right now to where we really need to apply our faith. And that is, give us this day our daily bread. We need faith in that. Yes. I'm going to tell you this right now. It's not in my notes. I really don't bring notes to the pulpit anymore. I just kind of bring a little slide that says, give us this day on it. Is the fact that we don't really treat God as God when it comes to this. We want to look at God. And I'm trying to say we because I don't want to think like we all don't do this at times. We do. As God is like this sugar daddy. God, forgive me for even saying it like that. Like he's going to be there, you know, no matter what. You know, I can just, you know, track through life, walk through life, go to church, go home, go to work, whatever it may be, get married, have a great life. He's going to take care of everything for me. I don't have to do anything. No, it takes faith. Amen. Takes faith. The day Kathy and I were in Costco, we're getting them food for the homeless. I think we're having about only 125 at that point. Faith. This guy walks over and asks the question, what's all this food for? Say, we're going to feeding the homeless in Santa Cruz. We're a new ministry here in Santa Cruz. This is in 2001. He said, really? I said, yeah. And he walks away and comes back and he tells the clerk there, he said, I'll pay for all that food. I didn't have any money to pay for it. It was just a faith move there at that point. I mean, we were struggling. We were there on faith. Believing God. Amen. I was on my couch one day and I was totally bummed. I mean, I think the only two people in this room that know how I get when I'm totally bummed is Pastor Kathy and Pastor Becky. When I'm like, when I get bummed, I'm not a pretty picture. Okay, yes, you do too, Janae. I'm not a pretty picture when I get bummed. I get bummed. You know, I'm on the couch and I'm freaking out. I'm complaining about everyone and everybody. You know, this is way back in 2001. You weren't in a picture. Oh, I was a mess. My wife's over there, and all of a sudden I get a phone call from a mentor of mine, a father of mine in the ministry. Calls me from Cleveland, Tennessee, Dr. John Nichols, and said, Dennis, you're on my mind today. How can I help you? And I said, Dr. Nichols, I can't pay my mortgage. I don't know what we're going to do. We came here to California, into Santa Cruz by faith. He said, how much do you need? I said, I need $5,000. He said, I'll put it tomorrow, a check in the mail for $10,000 for you. Will that be okay for a while? Amen. Yes, sir. Faith. Amen. Faith. I wasn't in a real faithful position, but he had faith in us. You see, sometimes faith works both ways. Where faith works through somebody else to help you get out of the hole that you're in because you are not being able to see the miraculous. So what I'm saying this for, am I helping you? What I'm saying this is, don't give up if you're down. Don't throw in the towel if it doesn't look like you're going to make it. Don't stop because everybody else is saying it's not going to work. If God has given you a promise, if God has given you a dream, dream your dream, live out your promise no matter what it takes. I know you know all this, what I'm about to say, but I read it again this week when I was reading an article. God is the God of the mountain, but he's also the God of the darkest valleys. He's there with you no matter where you're at. Give us this day our daily bread. Give. It's a great word, isn't it? Give. Why do I say it's a great word? Because in our way of thinking, we hear the word give, and oftentimes we go, I've already given. How much more do I have to give? God doesn't think like that. It's time for giving in the church, and the church usually goes, and lands on the runway, and the engine propellers go, boop, 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 boop. I'm telling you, God never does that with us. When you say, Father, help me, give to me, bless me, I need this, he is there.
That's right.
He doesn't work on our time clock, by the way. He doesn't own an Apple Watch or a Fitbit or some other type of timepiece that he looks at and he's controlled by the hours of the day or the sunset or the sunrise. He is eternal. He doesn't live in time. He knows exactly when to enter into your time and bless you. He will never fail you. If I wouldn't have got that phone call that day, I don't know what I would have done. I don't know what I would have done. No mortgage money, no food. Broken down Mercedes Benz that was donated to us in the front of the house. And every time I started it up, I didn't drive to the store. I had to drive to the mechanic shop. Everything was going south. There were others that had the same ministry going on. They were going north and rapidly. Praise God. But God knew exactly when to tell Dr. Nichols to give me a call. He knew exactly when to talk to that man to come over and see us in that line at Costco. He knew exactly to talk to that person when we needed a $500 check one day that no one knew about, but Kathy and I, and we found it on the windshield of our car at the Vine Christian Fellowship. We had no idea, no idea at all. He did it. And I can go through a list of things. He did. Miraculously. He healed me of an ulcer. Miraculously. I wasn't even a Christian. And my mother-in-law said, lay on the floor. And I'm thinking, this is weird. She's a charismatic Pentecostal Christian. I mean, she is like a dynamo prayer person. I said, I've got an ulcer. It's so bad. I'm in such pain. She goes, lie on the floor. I'm thinking, I'll do anything. Okay, I'll lie on the floor. She, by faith, she reaches her hand down and lays her hand on my stomach. And immediately, I feel this warmth go into my body. And immediately, I'm healed. I go back to the doctor and check it out in California. This miracle happened in Florida. And the doctor said, there's nothing there. I haven't had an ulcer since 1977. And let me tell you something. Praise God, I gave it to the devil and I keep giving him an ulcer every time I preach. Amen. Let me tell you something. We have a God that gives to us. It doesn't have to be in dollars. It doesn't have to be in copper. It doesn't have to be in any money format. He gives us strength. He gives us healing. He gives us empowerment. He gives us wisdom. He gives us knowledge. And he gives us the strength to move forward.
Amen.
And he gives us time every day. Now listen to this. He gives us time. If we'll find it, it's there. It's there. It's not hard to find, but we struggle with it. He gives us time to pray every day. Every day. There is a time. And what the enemy of our soul does not want you to do is to communicate to your source of power.
That's right.
Doesn't want it. Doesn't want you to plug into God. He wants to keep you unplugged, in despair, in depression, disputing everything. But when you begin to walk with God, God walks with you and God protects you. The Bible is so clear. He is a shield about us and a lifter of our head. He knows when the sparrow falls. How much more will he know about you when you're going through something? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You'll be adorned like the flowers in the field. You'll be blessed more than Solomon was blessed. You'll be blessed. You'll be above and not below. You're going to be the head and not the tail. Your barns will be overflowing with produce and product of the kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Your vats will overflow because you have given. But yet God wants to give back abundantly, over and above, shake down and pressing together. He wants to give into our life. And he puts in his prayer a simple line. Give us this day our daily bread. And I love that he said us. Again, incorporating the family here. I want to remind you that this prayer says that we are family.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what color our skin is. That's a lie from hell. It doesn't matter what neighborhood we grew up in. That's a lie from hell. What matters is that we belong to God, and God's family is all sorts of different sizes and shapes and colors and personalities, and God loves us all exactly the same.
Amen.
Praise God. That's why I focus on the lion and the lamb instead of the donkey and the elephant. That's why I focus on God, because He is our supply. He meets our every need. Can I preach a bit? Let me tell you that I really believe that God wants to bless this church. I really believe that God wants to bless every church in the kingdom, in America. I believe God wants to bless every church around the world. That's why He said, I will return when the gospel is preached to every person on this earth.
Amen.
Praise God. He wants everybody to know, give us this day. But He's talking about, if you study out the Greek and you look at it, it says that what He's really saying there is, give us our needs that we'll need tomorrow. Because we've already got our needs because we prayed it yesterday for today. So He's pressing us to look to tomorrow. And why He's doing this? Let me tell you what I believe the Holy Spirit has placed in my heart. He's doing this because we get so caught up in looking at the negative of today, we forget about the blessings of tomorrow. There is so much to be joyful about. Give us this day our daily bread. We don't really have to go to God and say, give us today our greed. Just give us our need. What we need.
Amen. Right.
You know, and how important that is to you and I. I mean, I'm sure if you're listening to me speak, you're probably going into your mind right now, well, I have a lot of needs, probably more needs than some of the other people I know. Well, guess what? God knows that.
Right.
And guess what? God's not even worried about competition and giving. God's not worried about how much one gets and another gets. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all that dwell therein. He's got it all together. God's the only person I know that's got it all together.
Amen.
Praise God. I mean, I meet people that walk around like they got it all together, but they don't have it all together, because their biggest mistake they're making is they think they got it all together. God has it all together. He knows exactly what your tomorrow looks like. He knew what car you were going to get. He knew the need that you were going to need when you're going to Fresno. He understands the needs that you're struggling with right now. He knows the privacy of your mind, of the things that are going on right now in your life that you don't share with anybody, but God knows. God knows the pain. God knows the struggle. God sees the joy. God hears the praise. God accepts the worship. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost wants us to know that He is willing to bless us at all times. Amen. God is good. God is good. God is wonderful. God is alive and powerful, and He's so intent on blessing His children. So intent on it. Moms, can I speak to mothers for a minute? And dads, of course. But moms, look at your kids. Don't you just want to bless them?
Yes.
Oh, especially when they're children. Well, I'll admit, when they get a little older, you don't want to bless them. You want to, oh, come on now, get over it. I'm going to talk to you strongly now. They can get underneath your skin a little bit. You know, they can do things that you did. I didn't teach you to do it that way, but they did it that way, and you got to deal with it. But you know what? God, He deals with us the same way. There's times where He has to pull us aside and chastise us a little bit because He loves us.
That's right.
because we're not doing things exactly the way we should have. But let me tell you, give us this day our. He's concerned about each and every one of us. Our. So in other words, my need may be less than your need, but I'm not concerned about your need. I'm concerned about my need. And if your need is $1,000 and my need's only $5, I'm fine. I've got my need met. Praise God. See, that's where we need to understand. Family prays for one another. Family helps one another out. Family lifts each other up. Family binds together and carries each other down the road a little bit further. Family lifts up the arms of the one praying and does not have the strength to continue to pray. We become the Aaron and the Ur to that person, and we lift up their arms, and the enemy is defeated.
Amen.
Praise God. God wants us to be blessed.
Yes.
Give. We have enough audacity. I use that word audacity. We have enough self-ego. Yes, I use those words. To say to God, give us. But yet when it's time for us to give, we fold our arms. We're not sure God can supply the need that we need if we give what we give. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't give, God doesn't give back. Now, I'm not here to preach on money. I'm not here to preach on tithing. I'm not here to preach on missions. I'm not here to preach on any sort of an offering. I'm just telling you the Bible says give, and God will give back.
That's right.
And he said, test me and see what I can do for you. Praise God. Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, what I want you to do and what I'm encouraging you to do and what I'm hoping you to do is to pray such a prayer when you pray the Lord's Prayer with such compassion and passion towards the Word of God and the promises of God that you will pray with this conviction that He is going to give this daily bread to me and my family.
Amen.
He's going to bless us. When I left the business world, I left with nothing. I had to do work on a property that we were at in Corralitos, California, because I didn't have the money to pay the rent. It was only $500 back in those days for rent. 2.5 acres overlooking the ocean. 5-bedroom home, built-in sauna off the master bedroom. $500. I didn't have it. Lost my business. 5 families lost their jobs. I didn't have it. Had no food. I said, Kathy, we're going to have to go back like we did before we were even Christians, when we were hippies in the early days. We're going to have to live on brown rice and corn for a while. She said, okay, we did it before. We'll do it again. And there was a knock on the door, and there's 2 ladies there. And I've told you this before, but I want to remind you, 2 ladies that we didn't know one of them, and one of them we had met at the Church of God in Watsonville. And they said, we were praying, and we know, Pastor, that you're here, and we understand that you lost your businesses, but we don't know but what's really going on. But God spoke to us to bring you groceries. Do you need groceries? And I said, yes. They brought us a week's worth of groceries. 4 bags full of groceries in. I tell you, brown rice and corn was off the menu.
Amen.
Actually, you're probably going to laugh at this. I made a peanut butter tofu pie that night. I tell you right now, it was so good. It's good. Don't worry about it. You're all looking at me like, there's that hippie guy showing up again. Oh, it's delicious. And so, but there, God spoke to people that I didn't know that well. Only one I met at church once on Sunday. The other one I never met. How much more will God bless anybody that really has faith and just prays and believes God. He sees your pain. Even now as I'm preaching, he knows what you're struggling through. He knows what your financial condition is. He knows what your bills are. He realizes, and let me tell you something, you're thinking right now, how can God ever help me? I made such a mistake. Let me tell you the God I serve. The God I serve takes our mistakes and makes them miracles.
Amen.
That's the God I serve. He makes everything work for the glory of his kingdom. If you've made a mistake and you did something you shouldn't have done, the word is repent. Ask for forgiveness and let God know that you realize you did that, and God's going to come into that and bring a miracle to your mistake. Don't let the enemy pound you to the ground saying that God will never care for you. He does care for you. In every way that you can think of, he cares for you. How many of us for our children would not do anything for them, no matter what the cost? Well, God, he doesn't have to worry about for matter what the cost. He just does it. Give us this day our daily bread. So that's what I want you to think about when you're praying this. Don't go, a lot of people go right past this. It says, give us this day our daily bread and lead us not into temptation. They go right all this through this stuff. And they want to say, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. They want to get on. We'll get into that. But right now, not today, but we're getting into that. But the whole idea of it is that what we have to understand is that we rush through this part of the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We kind of, the first part, we're there, kind of, our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But give us this day our daily bread. We kind of speed up the track a little bit. God wants you to slow down and understand every word you're praying to him, because every word you're praying to him is acknowledging him and who he is and what he can do and what he will do.
Amen.
And it ends with saying who he is. He is the Lord of all the kingdom. All hail King Jesus. Praise God. He is the one who sits on the throne. And all glory and honor unto him who sits on the throne. The book of Revelation uses that scripture. Let me tell you something, how important it is we understand who he is. And I want to just bring you to this one place, and then I'm going to bring it to the close, that I want you to hear this, though. Really important. Please. There's a psalm that we forget. We forget about it because we think it's just a death psalm, a funeral psalm. We think it's a despair song, a depression song. For some reason, it's got this negative connotation. It's really a psalm to remind us of who he is in our life and every walk and stage of our life. And I'm just going to read the first verse to you. Well, I may read it all to you. I don't know. But it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalm 23:1. The Lord's my shepherd. It doesn't say my pastor's my shepherd. It doesn't say my husband's my shepherd. It doesn't say my wife's my shepherd. It doesn't say my best friend's my shepherd. It doesn't say my boss is my shepherd. It doesn't say the banker's my shepherd. The Lord, Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of glory, the Almighty Father, the everlasting God, the Prince of peace, is my shepherd, and I shall not want. It doesn't say sheepishly, and I shall not want. I shall not want. If you have any wants today, say to God, I shall not want. You're my shepherd, praise God. You are the one, you are the King of kings and the Lord of glory. You make me to lie down in green pastures. You know what that means? He's taken me to a place where I can rest and enjoy comfort. Not to a desert place, to where I fear and I'm hungry. He leads me by the still waters, to where these waters will not be running, rushing, and I'm afraid to reach my hand or put my face down to get a drink. They're still and calm and pure. I think it's really understandable that we understand that he also restores our soul. Our broken, bruised, sinful soul he gave. Uh-oh, there's that word. I'm bringing it to a close. Really, I am. There's that word. He gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that if we call upon his name, we shall be saved. And we will live with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost in eternity forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. If that doesn't make you shout, I don't know what will.
Amen.
That he's there. I'm really enjoying preaching this today. To tell you the truth, I may not close. I just, you know, may just take it a little bit further here. He does these beautiful things for us. He leads me down the paths of righteousness, not for our sake, for his sake. Because we represent him. It's not about us. Everybody say it's about him. It's about him. It has nothing to do with us. It's him. He just allows us to be called the children, the sons and daughters of God because of his presence in us, because we have confessed. He has given us forgiveness. He has given us Jesus. We took a shower in the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I say, here's a prayer you need to pray for your family, your children. Father, as I speak my son's name today, if I speak my daughter's name today, I pray that you pour out the redeeming blood of your only begotten son, Jesus, upon them. That they would be saved. Call it out. Call it out for your family. Call it out because you're asking God to give them something they need.
Amen.
Are you with me? There's a lot of depth here. I understand that. I said last night in prayer, God, I don't really want to go too deep. He said, you go deep. I'll have them swim. Don't worry.
Amen.
Pour out that redeeming blood. Call out your children's names every day. Call their names out before God. I call out your all's name and my children's name. I call out the general executive committee's name. Why? Because they're my leaders. I call out my bishop's name. I call out my wife's name. I call out my family's name. I've got a list of 500 plus people that I call out their name. That God would bless them. Amen. I go through this whole church. Even those that aren't attending right now, I call out their name. That Jesus would bless them. Because I want God to give them miracles and give them strength and encouragement in a world that denies the miracle, the miraculous of God, and denies what God can do and weakens people because of who they are. Amen. I really believe that as we have to understand what's going on, that there's a God that we serve, a God that is holy, a God that is pure, a God that is righteous, a God that is alive forevermore, a God that blesses those that pray. He will. He will bless. He will strengthen. He will guide. He will uplift. He will do all these things for us. I think it's marvelous that we understand that. It's all about him, but he wants to bless us because we're part of his family.
Amen.
And then, you know, I don't know. It goes beyond saying, but I just got to put this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. I don't know about you, but I can tell you times in my life where I believe that valley was getting a little long for me. Maybe none of you have ever gone through a dark period in your life, gone through a time in your life where you feel that no one cares about you, that there's nothing that can be done. This is you for the rest of your life in darkness, in bleakness, in despair, in depression, in fear, and in doubt. Those are the emotions that you're encapsulated in your body, and you're embracing, and you're mixing them together. It's becoming like a marble cake. It's just becoming part of you. And the joy of the Lord seems to be so distant, it doesn't even seem that you can see the light of that deliverance anymore. You are in a dark valley. It's terrible. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. You're there, God. I may not see you. I may not feel you, but the magic word that I've been talking to you about is the faith says God is there. He is truly there. He is not going to say no. He is not going to say, I'm going to leave you there. He's the God of the valley as much as he is the God of the hilltop or the God of the descending or the God of the descending. He is there at all times and he will never leave you because his rod of correction and his staff of comfort will comfort you and bring you through to the other side.
Amen.
And there you find him ready to prepare for you a meal in the presence of your enemies. This is a giving psalm. It goes along with give us this day our daily bread. This is a giving psalm. God is giving us blessings in this psalm over. I shall not want. I hope that you think today about your walk with God and your relationship with God and the ability of your prayers and your praise and your worship that you put into your heart, into your mind. God, have I walked so far away from you that I do not see you anymore? Have I created my own valley of darkness because I turned from your presence and embraced a world that is destroying my life, is tearing me down? Bear the doubt, the fear, all these things that I'm being crumpled over by this world. I'm single, I have children, I am married, and I've lost my wife, I've lost my husband, whatever it may be. God, I am in such a place right now that I don't even know if you exist. He is just there with you as much as he was the first day you recognized that there's a God who's willing to save you, forgive you, deliver you, and help you through the struggles of life. I don't know where I'd be without God today.
Amen.
So don't think I'm up here preaching to you about something that I don't know about. He's there, and he's willing to sit us down, and he's willing to give us a meal. When we're delivered, he's willing to say, here, sit and rest, be full. Let me bless you with a meal. And then he wants to fill your cup with wine to the overflow. And he wants to anoint your head. Amen.
Amen.
He wants to bless you and wants to be there for you. And he wants you to know that you don't have to fear. Fear is the destroyer of faith. You don't have to be afraid of anyone or anything. When God walks with you, you're walking with God. God is walking with you, and you have faith. And don't you fear anything, because God will never let anything happen to you. You're his child. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to know his family. He wants you to be part of his family. He wants that. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Look over your shoulder today. You'll see goodness and mercy back there. They're cousins. Goodness and mercy following you. God's goodness always there with you. And mercy means in the Bible, if you study out the word mercy, it certainly represents the blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary. But it really means in the Hebrew that God bows down. He comes from the throne of where he desires to be, where he deserves to be, and where the dynamics of his kingdom are. And he bows down. He bows down to help us. He bows down. He comes to where we're at. Goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm always going to be there. I'll be there on my knees. I'll be there every day. And when the day comes where I step off this earth into his glorious presence, I will be there. What he's saying here Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Today, he's saying to you, I'm willing to give you your daily need. I'm already seeing your tomorrow, and I'm going to bless it. But you have to have faith. You have to have faith. You have to have that willingness to believe what you're praying is true. They're just not words on paper. Amen?